Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 239, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Tuesday, May 31st, 2022, which of course means that it is the last day of May.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Good riddance.
If I had to say what actual day it was, if we were going to really celebrate it, it would be World Parrot Day.
Yeah. I mean, that would be like, that's like the people who go out drinking on New Year's Eve, and New Year's Eve is a big deal for them. Like, every day is Parrot Day for me, and yeah, like, you know.
There's a lot of weird ones, actually, on May 31st. It's also Necrotizing Fasciitis Awareness Day.
We've all been there.
Don't fuck around with that. And also, speak in complete sentences today.
No, thank you.
Which sounds like a thing like my grandmother would have told me, she was annoyed with me.
How about, nah, I don't think I will. Is that a complete sentence? Could be. Depends on the context.
No, I don't think I. Yeah, no, that is.
Nah. Do you remember the trend? I feel like maybe this trend has like started to feel silly at this point, where we would blame the year. Be like, oh, not you, 2018. You've taken David Bowie away from me.
Oh, yeah. That was 2016, but yeah.
2016. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
That was a big year.
Wait. Yeah, I'm sorry to join in before I'm introduced.
What the? Who the?
Yeah, David Bowie died of cancer. 2016 had nothing to do with it.
I feel like I'm seeing less and less of the 2022's a bad one, you know.
Right.
Thanks a lot, 2022. I think we've started to realize that it might be creeping fascism problem that we have more so than just blaming the year. Anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, aka I've dude everywhere, man. Drank the Baja Blast, man. Breathe the Mountain Dew air, man. Of soda I've had my share, man. I've dude everywhere. I drank Maui Burst, Code Red, Flamin' Hot, Major Melon, Game Fuel, Berry Blast, B2, Dubs, Legend Spark, Amp, Vultures, Live Wire, Sweet Lightning, Purple Thunder, Orange Storm, Tropic Spike, Frostbite, and Typhoon, Cherry Burst, Midnight Grapefruit Punch, Kickstart, Black Cherry, Thrashed Apple, sold at Kroger. I've dude everywhere, man. Shout out to Blake Rogers.
Oh, shit.
Great work on your part, especially love. Closing it out with sold at Kroger, where Johnny Cash said I'm a killer, which is a great little aside after listing a bunch of states as being like I'm a killer. That's why I'm traveling to all these states just sold at Kroger, the perfect punctuation.
When we were talking to Amy, that was Amy, right?
Yeah, Amy last week.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's and I forgive me if the person came with an AK, because I felt like when I was talking, I was like, look, you've been everywhere, man. And then when we got into that, I'm man. OK, I feel like I put something out there and then we got this wonderful.
Yeah. I think it was collaborative. Because you did like throw something when I said thanks to Blake Rogers for that. Did you wanted me to thank you too?
Well, Rogers has been stealing my whole right. flow for fucking 14 years.
And
now.
And you say you've had enough of this shit. Yeah. So thanks to Miles Gray featuring Blake Rogers. Thanks for featuring on the Miles Gray track. Miles, put
yo, honestly, I may be having a fever dream because I know I talk so much all the time. I know I was just talking about that Johnny Cash song to somebody. So I look, my brain is mush. So
hey, man,
whatever.
It's all right. Shout out
Blake though.
I've dude everywhere. Anyways, I'm thrilled to be joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Bam, 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 bam. When the taste of the shrimp is a little strange, it's toxic. No need to check the date. When it tastes like ammonia, you should trust your brain. I'm gonna eat this shrimp, even though that is toxic.
Okay, shout out to TDZ Burner at TDZ Burner for that wonderful Britney Spears toxic inspired AKA. Because, yeah, when I bought some shrimp that was in the sun too long. I didn't want to believe that it had gone bad, even though the stank on it was burning my nose hairs out. So again, don't eat it. Yeah. Don't test it. You know, just be safe. Practice food safety.
Yeah. Your body was telling you one thing, but you were also grew up as an athlete. So you've learned to ignore your body and just listen to your mind and your spirit. And you gave it 100% when just downing that shrimp that smelled like ammonia.
What I do is I cut the little plastic bag that it's in first, drink all the juice at the bottom of the bag. Then I go on to cleaning or then cooking it. But it's true. Just like my old fourth grade PE teacher used to wear that shirt that said pain is weakness leaving the body.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my whole thing too.
Mind over body, bro. Mind over body.
Yeah.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined once again by one of the very faces on Mount Zeitmore. He co-hosts the podcast, The Worst Idea of All Time. He's one of the funniest stand-up comics doing it. He's one of your favorites. He's one of our favorites. Yes. The hilarious and talented Guy Montgomery!
Guy! Yes. Hello. I lifted the lid a little early with the, I couldn't hold back when you boys were talking years.
Yeah.
But I'm still here. And now I've got permission to take the microphone and say whatever I think. And fellas, I think some pretty nuts stuff. So good luck. Good luck reining this horse in for a full
live
episode.
Wire. Am I right?
Yeah.
We're bracing crazy.
Don't worry.
I'm feeling absolutely bonkers, boys. Yeah. Hey, can I ask you this? How the bloody hell are you?
Guy, every time you're on, right, for the past few years, it's like always at these moments where Guy from New Zealand is just going, hey, y'all all right over there?
Mm-hmm. That just kind of how it feels.
Yeah.
I've got a broad picture of what's happening in America, and it's not great, but how are Miles and Jack?
Mm. I'm compartmentalizing.
Yeah. Sometimes you gotta.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so funny. A few people like reached out to me like, hey, man, I don't know how you keep watching the news right now. Da, 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 da. And part of me, I feel like it feels good to talk and express what I'm going through out loud so people can hear what's happening and maybe, you know, inform some people. And that keeps me running. And also just I feel like other than that, I don't know, to be honest, I'm kind of at a loss for words to actually accurately articulate what I'm going through at the moment. I'm kind of on a knife's edge, but leaning towards the optimistic.
Good and I'm man. Bad.
Oh, well, I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like shit physically, mentally, spiritually. That's where I'm at. But, you know, got some sick kids at home, so that's kicking my ass a little bit, and now they're on the mend, so we'll see. We'll see, maybe.
Yeah, man. You gotta. You want to get those kids healthy. Hey, I got to tell you, boys, I'm in the shape of my goddamn life.
Oh, yeah? What shape is that?
Well, it's sort of just the cumulative shape I've brought on after 33 years of hard living and fast rocking. I don't know.
Hard living and fast walking. The Guy Montgomery story.
Please write that autobiography.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, a couple of things we're talking about. I mean, we're going to talk about the gun control situation in these United States. We're going to talk about Ron DeSantis. We're going to talk Herschel Walker. We're going to talk about why Israel doesn't let people have guns until they're 27. And why the U.S. doesn't let people rent cars until they're 26. And then why, what, that's not just a coincidence, I don't think. We're going to talk about the NFT show with Seth Green, which I'm very
excited. Have you seen the clip at all?
I did. I watched it this morning. The animated show.
Guy, have you seen it?
No.
Okay, we're glad. We'll get your reaction to it for the NFT-based hybrid live-action animation series Seth Green was developing. Yeah,
like a regular cartoon, but worse.
Right.
Exactly.
That's right. But before we get to any of that bullshit, Guy, the important thing is we like to ask you what is something from your search history. And this guy's a real sick puppy, so I can't fucking wait to hear what his answer is to this one.
You guys aren't going to believe this, but legitimately, my most recent search history, which was what I looked up at 12:30 last night, it is 6:30 a.m. NZ to LA time. And that was to make sure I was here punctually on time. And I was. And that's just the sort of demented stuff I look up. I'm a big time zone fiend. You know, I can't sleep until I know.
This boy can't stop.
You know, what the difference between Canberra and Dublin is. You know, that sort of stuff keeps me up at night.
Did you say you're a time zone fiend?
That's what I said. I want to know when different people in different countries can reasonably communicate with each other.
You go on vacation to those hotels that have the different clocks from different parts of the thing, but you don't leave the lobby. Man, you're just in that lobby looking at that shit.
I got to tell you, to be honest with you, Jack, I take my own clocks. You can't risk it these days. Too many hotels are relying on people having smartphones. I take 12 clocks. I put them up in every lobby. People hate it, but it's nice for me.
Yeah.
Wow. And
it's funny though. You know what? You know when you go to places that have that like old school like world clock setup,
yeah,
where it's like New York, Paris, blah blah blah. But then like the minute hands are fucking not matching, and you're like, what are y'all doing? Like, what's even the fucking point? Like, the basic thing is that it's the same. Like, I'm not gonna check if it's like what is it plus GMT or whatever, but get the fucking minute hands aligned, or this is just an insult to anybody looking.
I'm torn right now because obviously the real me wants to bully you, Miles, for caring about the seconds hand, but the character I've created, who is the time zone fiend, is on your side. I'm saying, heck yeah, man, you got to get those seconds lined up.
It's like the seconds and the minutes, when they're not, for me, I'm like, because I know what's going on, but then it's just, I'm like, I'm not stupid.
Right.
Well, that's
this
why
isn't accurate.
In addition to 12 clocks, I also always travel with 12 AA lithium batteries ready every time.
Sometimes they don't let me bring them on passenger planes.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the clocks are easy to get across international borders. It's the batteries that'll
trip
you up.
It's the lithium ion batteries. Oh, shit.
And what did you find out? Like, what time is it where you are right now, Guy? Just for the fellow time zone fiends out there, we're recording this on
we talking 7 a.m. NZT tomorrow, and for you tomorrow, guys it's 12 p.m. yesterday.
Oh, time traveling.
Get your head around that. You're gonna have a great night. If you're anything like me, you're gonna have the night of your life.
Wow. What was it like? What was this
what
night
was it like, Guy? What is something you think is overrated?
I'm sure you have this in America. Maybelline.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
You know Maybelline?
I'm just never sure if it's Maybelline or not. Like, maybe it is, but like,
the whole thing. They're like, maybe she's born with it. Yeah, or maybe it's us. It's like, right. Well, maybe before you launch the advertising campaign, do the research, find out.
Yeah.
Because if she's been born with it, you've got no business putting your name in the mix.
people come out and they're like, just to clear the record, I was born with this. Yeah. And Maybelline put me without my permission in these ads. Yeah. I was born with this.
I use Maybelline from time to time, but rest assured, before they put the makeup on for the ad, I was still fucking gorgeous.
Oh my God. Is Maybelline on the decline? I feel like that only activates like my old, like geriatric millennial brain.
I think,
but I mean, I know they still exist, but I feel like there's so many new companies now.
I feel like that also might be in part because I still see the slogan, but maybe historic, like, you know, terrestrial television advertising campaign. And in your life now, you're probably less likely to come across
that
style of advertisement.
The one place that I watch ads, the NBA playoffs, I feel like has a dearth of Maybelline ads, I've always noticed. So,
maybe she's born. Shame.
It is an interesting advertising ploy to be like, I don't know, it could be us.
Yeah. I admire the honesty.
Or maybe it's the idea that, like, when you do something right, they don't know you did anything at all. You know?
Right.
Is that altruism? That's like pure altruism.
Yeah.
It's like an anonymous donation.
Right. Yeah, right. Yeah. Or some makeup that's like really subtle, you know? Like you guys probably can't tell I'm wearing Maybelline right now.
What?
No, I couldn't. I assumed you were born with it.
Yeah.
Look at these lashes,
okay,
baby.
Now I see it. That's your secret.
Oh, I've got so many secrets.
These eyelashes.
I'll never tell any of my secrets. What guy is something you think is underrated?
Now, underrated for me is, it's not all of Facebook, which I think is probably a net bad, even though me and Mark go way back, but Facebook Memories. I love that stuff. It stores all of my digital memories. I found a status update this morning. It's the only reason I check Facebook is to see what
see
I was
where
up
you were
to
7 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah, 14
checking
years
with
ago.
Past guy.
That's right. Guy Montgomery is at a party. And there at the bottom it says, that's all for today. So that's my only memory ever made on this day. It was 14 years ago I was at a party. And I wish I'd used more descriptive language because I can't remember a single detail.
That's based on a check-in where you said at a party and that was it?
It wasn't a check-in. And I didn't have a smartphone in 2008. It was either a party I was hosting or I went onto someone's laptop and posted this. I got really into posting very boring, banal status updates. And then, you know, the other thing I do is I like to check my historic status updates for any, you know, any crazy stuff I was doing. Like, I think I got Facebook 16 years ago. I had no idea I was going to leave a digital footprint up until now.
Right.
You know, we had no conception that everyone was going to be able to look at everything we ever wrote. That's crazy.
I'm looking at, I just saw what mine was May 27th, 2008. Because, you know, back then it would say Miles Gray says, like the format was almost like this person said, and it was like Miles Gray says, fight apathy or don't.
My man. See, now that's good gear.
That's just good content.
See, I was in my bag in 2008.
I was at a party. You were fighting apathy, but indifferent to what other people were doing.
Or not, man, whatever, you know.
We were living our lives.
I have not been on Facebook in an extremely long time. Wow. Yeah, I get the smartphone, wow. Like the Apple memories updates that are like, remember this good time?
Oh, yeah.
And it's never
like the
great.
Sad music. It looks like a funeral.
And they play with a jaunty tune.
Yeah. But like it's all open source music. Can't they just like use the music from my phone that they know I like?
Yo, can they use U2?
Right. Can't they use that one U2 album?
Barbara, Santa Barbara.
Still the only music I have on my phone.
You know that song? That's like the one U2 song that I can't get off of Her Majesty's phone that plays when we plug it in.
Yeah. No, that's, I've had that song play randomly many a time.
Fuck that.
It sounds like they were starting Barbara Ann and then lost confidence. These vocal harmonies are too challenging. The Edge is speaking out from behind his bass. I can't do it, Bono.
Or Bono's just like midway. He's like, hold on, stop, man. I think we're in over our skis.
We can't do this. This is going to go on every single Apple phone in the world. Can you imagine recording an album with the weight of that hanging over you? It's like everyone's going to hear this.
Or, yeah, but then know how bad those albums are. You're like, wow.
Yeah,
got to really them. Don't give a fuck, but great.
They didn't have the metal. You can see it got in their head.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't please everybody is what I've always said.
They
certainly pleased me. A lot of people were mad about it. I was like, now I have music on my phone and I don't need anymore. And that's this day the only album on my phone, and it rocks.
Songs of Innocence, I think, is that album.
But then, yeah, that's that album. But you're leaving out the punchline, man. Songs of Experience.
Oh, fuck.
Comes later, and you're like, what? Wait, what?
I trusted you.
You How dare son you? Of a bitch. What?
The Edge, what?
I loved Songs of Innocence.
Edge. Is he the Edge or Edge?
He's the Edge, right?
Either way, you know, you got a bit. He regrets that nickname. He's old now. It's embarrassing, dude.
Yeah, right? He's the. Is there a seat somewhere around so I can just
he's a
take a load off. Oh, he is the Edge. Okay, he thank you, David Edge. Howell Evans.
Is there another one name person that is that has a the at the beginning of it?
The Weeknd.
Yeah, The Weeknd.
The Holy Ghost.
Yes,
the Father, the Son.
Yeah, maybe the Big Three, brother.
I do feel like they would have, maybe the Holy Ghost, that's how they would have addressed the actual ghost version of Jesus, but I don't feel like they called him the Son when he was walking around. But I do feel like the Edge's friends call him the Edge and the Weeknd's friends call him the Weeknd, which is fun.
Like early bands, Evans was given the nickname The Edge by members of the Lipton Village Surrealist Street Gang, to which Bono belonged. The nickname is commonly believed to be derived from the angular shape of his head.
Damn.
So he was bullied.
An unflattering, like, childhood nickname.
Right. It's like, yo, and shout out to the guitarist of my band, Jizz Boy.
Right.
What's up, Jizz Boy? We love you.
Like if I had
get
just,
that name.
If I had just gone by me off like the entirety of my life, like
that's actually pretty clever. Credit to your childhood bullies.
Oh, it was a lot of them. There's a lot of clever bullies out there, guy.
I know. If only they'd use their powers for good. Like bullying a different kid.
what about this asshole over here?
Yeah, yeah.
Why am I copping all
this? This guy just told me he had his first wet dream last night. Embarrassing.
Oh, Evan, you did? Yeah, man, cool. Oh, why are y'all high-fiving him?
That's great. That's growth, man. That's growth.
That's awesome, man. Well, that's cool, man. It's totally normal, man. I don't feel ashamed or embarrassed, you know. I'm like Jack Mehoff over here. Yeah. His mom made his lunch. Ugh. What?
Do you like making school lunches, Jack?
I do not like it. We have a metal like grill, like it's a lunchbox that goes inside the lunchbox. It separates the food out into different things so you can like put more like whole foods in there without them getting mashed up. And it's the hardest thing to wash in our household.
But you know, man, I'm so glad finally we're using the Daily Zeitgeist platform to talk about this, because we got something made by a company called Smiggle, got the plastic pull out. I can't get this thing out. I got to wedge a butter knife in there just to get this thing out to clean it.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It's so hard to clean.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not like just one piece that you can just do a top drawer dishwasher type shit.
It's sweet Miles.
Sweet innocent Miles.
But he knows not.
They have like a door hinge on them, you know, mine do. And then they're like a weird shape and they're also a weird size. So like they don't fit in the sink necessarily, like in a way that makes it easy to wash.
So you got to know about Jake Miles is this guy's got a tiny little sink in the lunchbox as his kids are going to school.
Have you seen, I don't know if you've seen Kanye and Kim's house, but their sinks where you can't tell where the water goes or that it's a sink even. That's sort of how we modeled our sinks. And so that does make doing the dishes somewhat difficult.
That way we can suss out any time travelers who know how to use this future technology.
Yeah.
That's the literacy test, like in Demolition Man.
That's right.
Where they know you knew how to use the shells.
Yeah, we have the three shells as well.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, you just gotta...
We like to keep our bodies clean. We use the three shells.
And I like to solve problems. I like to get my kids ready for the real world.
Man, well, shout out to your bento box dividers. I remember being a kid, I hated my food touching, but there were no options. It's like, here's this one Tupperware, everything will go inside of,
right.
And you will eat it.
Yeah.
Well, Miles, the kids won. The food's separate now.
Damn it. Yeah. Born in the wrong era yet again.
Yeah.
If only I could be a child today with this outlook on my future.
Like, mine was just a brown paper bag with, like, smaller, like, sandwich bags full of stuff that would occasionally leak out.
Oh,
but yeah, I don't know.
Mine was a series of brown paper bags, and there'd be a big bag, and then there'd be several smaller bags until I'd get to the tiniest bag, no bigger than, you know, a thumbnail, and it would say, check the rubbish bin by the gates. And then, you know, it was this whole scavenger hunt. And by the time I found the lunch, we were back to class. I was starving. They create a new one every day. That's so, you know, God bless my parents. There's so many scavenger hunts.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, I only had lunches up until, like, elementary school. And then my parents were like, man, fuck that. Just eat the like, prison slop they give you in there. And that's what the kids want. A lot of school lunches.
Right? That's what
I don't, man. I would see kids. I was like, damn, your mom has time to make that. Mm. That's cool. I'm going to eat this like styrofoam tray of like old iceberg lettuce, old bread they call croutons and ranch dressing. We'll call it chef salad day.
I was amazed that kid's mom had time to make that lunch as well because I was so busy porking her.
Up high. All right.
All right. You're clearly a bully. Come on.
No. I'm just feeling. Man, I told you, I'm feeling nuts. I got some crazy ideas.
That is a great... Can't believe your mom made you your lunch. I love it. All right. Well...
I love it.
I truly love that. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zeit gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/TDZ. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where First-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. Obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
And we're back. And as we are wont to do in this country, when the something unthinkable and yet very thinkable, because it's all in our short-term memory, the last time it happened, like the mass killing in Uvalde of fucking 10-year-old children, I think a lot of people start to say, well, why does this only happen here so frequently? And, you know, I do that every time. So there was an article in The New Yorker that was looking at Australia. Guy, are you familiar with Australia? Have you?
Yeah, those
bunch of bullies.
Those bastards. Yeah, they make us feel so teeny tiny. And they tease us. They say, you should join our country. And we say, we got a pretty good thing going on over here. Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Australia had a mass shooting in 1996. Then the government passed gun control laws. And this article kind of emphasizes that they have similar, like, gun nut culture. The president had to go and wear a bulletproof vest to meet with, like, the Second Amendment supporters, their equivalent of the Second Amendment supporters. But they did the thing that, like, that small group didn't want them to. And the results are conclusive. You know, there's been three mass shootings in the 25 years since then. And, you know, it was like the biggest one was a farmer who, like, killed his family of 6 people. So it's not these situations where somebody goes into a school and because they're having a bad day and have access to a military's worth of weaponry. And not only did they, like, add stricter gun laws, they bought back $650,000 worth of guns. Not only did mass shootings go down.
No, 650,000 guns.
650,000 guns, which I think a lot of people in America would be like, that would be nothing. But it actually wouldn't be nothing.
Because we have 390 million firearms in this country right now.
How many?
390 million.
Is that more than people?
It's about.
Yeah, I think it is more than people.
Two guns for every guy. Wow. Is kind of the math here. It's an obscene amount. That's why I'm like, 650,000. Okay. And then we're like, Jesus, 600, it's like 300, almost 400 million.
Yeah. It would. Place? It's not enough. It wouldn't be enough for America, but it would be a start. And also, right. harsher firearm laws. The one that like jumped out to me, because you always hear, you know, gun industry people, and then people who don't realize they are speaking on behalf of the gun industry because they've just swallowed the propaganda whole, always point to Israel. And because Israel has, they have a lot of guns. So this article points out, Israel, a country that American gun enthusiasts point to as another heavily armed democracy, has much stricter gun control laws than the United States does. To buy a gun there, you need a government license. The requirements for obtaining this license include satisfying a minimum age limit, 27 years old for anyone who hasn't served in the military or national service, passing a gun safety test, and obtaining a letter from a doctor that you are sound of body and mind. Many applicants in Israel are turned down, and even those whose applications get approved are, in most cases, limited to purchasing a single handgun with a limit of 50 bullets. And then, you know, it goes on to say Salvador Ramos, the shooter in Uvalde, Texas, legally purchased two AR-15s and 375 rounds of ammunition just days after his 18th birthday. And so that number, that age of 27, keep like stuck in my brain because it kind of seems random, but it's obviously not. Like the other thing that I know, like that sort of time of life from, is like when you can start renting cars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that it's just like they know that people, like they have studies in Israel and we have those same studies based on behavior of people and above and below reaching their mid-20s. There's evidence that says it is dangerous to give people under 26 life-ending technology. And you can tell we know it too, because when it makes a company more profitable, as in like insurance companies and rental car companies, they use it. But when it does the opposite and makes them make less money, and even though it kills, you know, a classroom of innocent children, like they will find a way to block the legislation.
Right. It's wild because, you know, like you're saying, there's steps in Israel to get a firearm. In the U.S., it's like, hey, you 18? All right, here, there's this like very quick background check. Okay, here's your bang bangs.
Right.
Like in Japan, for example, right? There's so many, like gun violence is nearly unheard of in Japan. But like the steps there, like you have to join a shooting club. Then you take a firearm class. And you have to pass a written exam. And then they have those like around three times a year. Again, you get a doctor's note that says you are able to do this. You can't have a history of any drug abuse. You have to apply for a permit to take firearm training. Then you describe in a police interview why you need a gun. Then you pass a review of your criminal history, your gun possession record, employment, and involvement with organized crime groups. And then you go to the next step, which is applying for a gunpowder permit. You take a one-day training class, pass a firing test, obtain a certificate from a gun dealer describing the gun you want. Then you buy a gun safe and an ammunition locker that meets the regulations. Then you allow the people to the police to inspect your gun storage. Then you have to pass another background review. Then you can buy a gun.
Right.
Wow.
That's 12 steps in between.
That's
like wanting it and getting it.
It's a good system. I remember I went to a Walmart. I was visiting a friend in Huntington, West Virginia, and it was one of the most jarring experiences I've seen. Just like, it's, you know, it's just like there's pool toys and inflatable rafts and stuff. Then you hit the gun part, and it was just like, it's so intense. We don't really see guns here. We had a horrific terrorist attack on March 15, 2019. And we had a similar repeal afterwards to what you're describing in Australia, where there was a ban on all semi-automatic, like military grade weapons, and a buyback scheme. And it's still too fresh to, you know what the full impact. And of course, not every gun nut is going to be compliant with a government mandate, but it's, you know, it's the effort and it's the education. But what they've got in Japan, the number of blocks and like checks they have in place, just how discouraging they make it. That makes right. a lot of sense. Like,
because there's a connection between what it means to own a gun and what's possible when someone owns one. Whereas here, it's just like, nah, man, it's like a fucking car, dude. You need that. Go get that. I don't care whatever you fucking do with that, but you can have, that's a product you can buy here.
And it's all built on history because those old fellas, they wrote it down a long time ago. But they were holding like those guns with the pointy sticks on the end of them.
Right.
Bayonet.
Yeah.
Everyone should have one of these, if only for the stick. Right. You know? Because it's so good for like picking up garbage when you're walking somewhere.
Right, for community service.
There's a part in the article where it just kind of casually says, like, but Australia, like the Australia also has strong gun culture and individualism, but they have a government that is responsive to public opinion. And like, it's just like kind of an aside of like, they're different because they have a government that is responsive to public opinion. And I don't know, it does feel like the thing that I'm seeing left out a lot of the responses, the Steve Kerr speech, the Biden speech, the countless articles that I'm reading, you know, about the problem and what, if anything can be done. And, you know, it's the 50 senators and we're just, they make it sound like, well, if you repeal the filibuster, we're one law away from being like other countries. But, and yeah.
Can I just quickly insert there, America's got it through the head. Other countries are good. No one is looking to America and being like, yeah, you know, historically, of course, but now it's like our entire lives, we're watching America with like the glossy sort of cable TV vision of it. And the last how many years, even though obviously this has been going on forever,
right,
it's been like watching the gritty behind the scenes making of documentary. And it looks horrible.
Right. And you're like, I think it's canceled. I think America is getting canceled right now.
It's honestly, it's crazy.
Well, and yeah, to that point too, like our whole history is based off of shoving people away from where they are with guns.
Right.
Mm. That's kind of like the genesis of how America, like what America is. It's like, hey, I want this, man. I got guns. Get out of here.
Also, further to what you're just saying, Jack, like, because, you know, you say Australia's political machinery is responsive to popular opinion. And obviously America, you pride yourselves as the bastion of democracy or whatever. Like, who is, because from what I can see, no one in America, who is politically sated? Like, is there anyone anywhere along the political spectrum who is pleased by the way that, you know, things are run and things are conducted? Because all I see are like, obviously you've got the alt-right and people who are just furious with the concept of culture wars. And then you've got all of these liberal people who are just so upset by the, like, just how ineffectual, you know, the Democratic Party are. Like, there appears to be no actual course of action that can right. create impactful change on virtually anything.
Yeah, you aren't like that. So the detail that seems like it's missing from all the reactions is you aren't allowed to make a change in modern America if it doesn't help make companies money. Like if it doesn't help make rich people who work at big corporations richer. And like that feels like a very like, something that would outrage people if that was included in all those responses is like, and it all goes back to that. But there's just something about that point that feels like kind of unserious. I think that's how it is judged in America, is it's unserious to be like the dang corporations, you know, that feels like a hippie thing.
Sure. But it's exactly what's wrong. And that's why it's so also just fucked up to just see like in a description of like, what do we do, to leave that very potent element out of the discussion.
Right.
That this is all of our everything that almost felt like in our recent memory, especially that it could have brought change. The reason it gets curtailed so hard is because companies look at it. They see it's going to undercut their profits. They send an army of lobbyists in to try and fight back. That's why Obamacare started as something like, oh shit, this kind of resembles something like socialized medicine in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then very quickly just ceding to health insurance companies. So we couldn't solve that failure problem.
Gets stuck to the people who are like perceived as leftist or progressive is like the failure of Obamacare is like, well, you guys tried and like, that's it. And it's like, not really.
They didn't really try.
Yeah, they didn't try. Like
so entrenched in money.
Yeah, the industry wrote the bills, but you know, it, Like the standard explanation for this is like there's something different about our people, our conservatives, our Republicans, or like our will. Well, us not having the will. I think a lot of people do that to themselves. They're like, I just don't like. But I don't think that's the truth. The difference is we don't have a government that is designed to reflect the will of the people for the past at least 20 years. And it doesn't act on behalf of the people like straight up. You can understand every decision that has been made in the country as designed to make corporations the most money possible. Like, right. And human lives get in the way of that sometimes.
For what it's worth, Jack, you know who works at corporations? People.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But there's like that. So this is the thing that I keep trying to like get back to is. There's something about the message, like it short circuits. I kind of want to hear from you guys. Like when we say things like this, that it's like this whole thing is caused by the government only listening to corporations. Like it sounds unrealistic, and I don't know. And people, like, we don't have a thing, like, we don't have a recourse. We don't have, like, a government that listens to the people. And so it feels, like, hopeless and unrealistic and, like, you are not a grown-up when you add that part. Like, I think that's why, like, Steve Kerr is a basketball coach, by the way, guy who
I know Steve Kerr. Okay. Yeah.
I just didn't know if, like, that, it seems crazy that, like, our best statement yet and, like, most straightforward one has come from a basketball coach. But, you know, but he wasn't like, and this is because, like, our entire system is designed to make massive corporation, like, only listen to massive corporations. It is like capitalism in the strict sense of like it only listens to capital, and like they serve that instead of those dead kids. But like that feels like when I say things like that, I want to like make fun of myself and be like, yeah, man, the capitalist system, man.
Yeah, no, but that is so like kind of reductive and dispiriting because it's like it surely is a circumstance now, and just to look at it, you know, by any metric, it's at a point where there should be no self-regulating in terms of everything should be on the table. Every possible conversational point or reason should be like put forward and treated with the same level of, I mean, you know, respect or interest, because I understand the instinct to be like, yeah, I feel like you feel like a hippie or whatever, but it's like, what is the turning point? What is this? Like, how many opportunities have there been for impactful reflection or change? And it's like, if it just keeps happening and you know, and you feel sheepish about articulating the reasons why you believe it's happening, it's just, it doesn't make any, I'm not across the entirety of what's happening because it is literally unwatchable. And, you know, I obviously feel so badly for America and Americans, and especially the families and of those children and stuff. But it's just like it's too demoralizing. And America centers itself so much. It's like, you know, it is such a touchstone culturally and internationally. But it's like it's unwatchable. It's just too, it's too dispiriting. Yeah. It is too upsetting.
Yeah, and I think it's hard because right. And we're the most propagandized fucking people on the planet, you know, like we can't, to the point where, Jack, you even think you are describing the situation. You've internalized the propaganda about speaking out about a corporatocracy. You know right. what I mean? Where you're like, man, now I sound like one of those people that corporations have, you know, smeared to look a certain way to protect their power. And it is really disheartening when you look at, okay, well, the media can't do it because it's owned by corporations. You're not going to hear this unless it's on like sort of more fringe or like marginalized like places where news is discussed, not in the mainstream. So that message isn't getting out to people. And the people who are used to describing the news can't articulate it because they're too entrenched in it to really see it. And to your question, Guy, who has sated the donor class?
Right.
Politicians. Right. They're fine. They're actually fine. If that's why everything is so hollow that comes out, because they're the
the will of these people is not really aligned with outcomes for delivering for the constituents. It's to deliver for the donors.
There's this NPR. Yeah. NPR got this leak of a NRA meeting after Columbine, and like we talked about it last week. But the one of the like quotes was one of their executives saying, "We're in deep shit on this deal," talking about like Columbine being a bad look for them. And that's so it's not nobody is licking their chops and saying like, great, like now there was a mass shooting and like shareholder prices are going to go up. Like nobody's like making that leap in their brain. They're going into corporate meetings and like using business euphemisms to like have that conversation. But that is what runs every single important decision in the country.
All right. The other thing we just look at, right, because this whole game of American politics, the reason there's so much money is because it used to be really hard to like finance your campaigns. But when you rely on lobbyists, a lot of that work's done for you. So you're beholden to them.
Right.
And you kind of know where your allegiances lie when you have to say things out loud about what is happening in the country. Like, for example, I just want to make sure I have this right, that Roy Blunt has not tweeted. Roy Blunt is a Democratic senator from Missouri. He's received money from the NRA. He hasn't said a thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Democrat. Okay. And you go on, you go down the list. Herschel Walker, who just won his senatorial primary in the state of Virginia for the Republican primary to be a Senate candidate. He is one of the many recipients of the family that owns Daniel Defense, which is the company that manufactured the assault rifle that was used last week. And they are big GOP donors. And a lot of the families and the people behind these firearms manufacturers, they're stepping in to fill the void of a lot of standard NRA donations because those have began to dwindle. But the people who are behind these companies still know what the game is, which is we cannot put any money on someone who is going to try and limit people's access to buying our products.
There's no value. Like, so basically there's no integrity because everyone who's in politics is either like, they're just doing it as a means to an end of making money, and
absolutely. And
all it is like staying silent to protect your position of power or whatever. So
because we put the possibility of profit, we attach it to a lot of even occupations that shouldn't have it, right? Like think about how much money cops are paid, like what compared to around the world, or even things like because of our medical system becomes highly profitable and lucrative, not just to like be an administrator, but to actually practice medicine too. Like I have like cousins who live in Japan who are in the medical field, and they're like, yeah, I was thinking about being a doctor there because the money's so good. But I think like, it's okay. Like I'll make my like normal, not that they're distraught and destitute, but it's so different that we also have like, we're motivated by the completely wrong things. And that's only, echoed back to us from our media and what we see in terms of who rises to power and who stays in power. So we have really fucked up modeling around this. And I just want to say, like, when you have people like this who are taking money from the gun lobby, they're they are going to stand side by side with you when these moments come and people say, okay, you senator or you candidate person, you got to know this is bad, right? Tell us, like, show us where you're at. And then they say like this. So let me just play this clip of Herschel Walker, who this was his immediate response after the shooting when they say, well, what are we going to do? And this was, this is our latest entry to the talk about gun violence without saying gun reform challenge.
Am I out of my mind or is Herschel Walker an athlete?
He was
Herschel Walker is a running back. Yeah. Was he running back?
I thought he was that's right. He was a running back.
Very famous in the state of Georgia, so. I don't know. Comparable person for you, but yes, in that area, it has a lot of name recognition. Okay, so here's him. Here's what I propose, and already people know as a caveat, Herschel Walker is far from an example of high aptitude.
See, that is a person wielding that weapon. Cain killed Abel. And that's a problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. He talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that looking at just social media, what about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way. But
what?
I don't understand a word that guy just said.
That's because he's been paid to not say anything except we need gun control. So right. You just sent this football player who smashed his head 100 times into an improv show where he has to play a senator who comes up with an alternative to taking guns away and making it sound reasonable.
I saw a clip of Ted Cruz talking about doors. There seems to be a lot of people talking about how you need to, schools should only have one door, or I mean, mostly him, but I saw another clip of a policeman talking right. about a door. But like Ted Cruz's whole, the way that he got around mentioning the word guns was like, well, you know, there was a door open. Oh. School should have one door. And okay. You have armed police officers outside the door. And he's, you know, this is his pitch.
Be great is, for if there's a fire.
Yeah.
Near that door.
I just cannot, I cannot fathom the concept of just removing any other entries and exits from a building instead of acknowledging that there might be a gun problem.
Well, this is why it sounds so absurd, because you have people who know better and some who are just so ideologically aligned with the NRA that they agree, whatever. But that's why it sounds like you're like, what was that? That's not a real thing. That's because they're going to be like, I can't say we got to restrict the flow of guns. So I got to try every other thing. So I'll say it's God. Say it's a lack of a two-parent household. Say it's this. But it's not, it's the guns every time, right? And Ron DeSantis, who's the governor of Florida, darling of the NRA, he said nothing this whole time. Nothing. Because again, when you get hundreds of thousands of dollars from the gun lobby, they make it really clear what's it's expected of you when the talk of scary gun reform emerges. It's
How impactful would it be for any of these people who have taken donations? Like that Democratic guy, it was his name, Roy Blunt.
Mm-hmm.
What if anyone just stepped out of line and said, obviously we've got a massive gun problem and we need to regulate this, you know, we need to put some checks and balances in place with respect to firearms. Like, would that have any either power or in terms of advertising some sense of backbone on his body, would it be worth anything?
I mean, I don't know. You know, I think what the cycle is if you go out, you know, if you're taking big money from a lobbying group and you start talking spicy and suddenly you're biting the hand that feeds, typically the thing you can expect is like they get together and they're either going to make sure you don't get any donations or they'll primary you. So next time you
videos
try and run,
of you wrestling with your cousin will right. appear.
Or what I'd kill for those right. videos to get out there. I absolutely whomped on that guy's ass.
Never threw somebody across the room so hard. But like, that's the fear, right? Is that if I step out of line, I'll have to work harder to fundraise, because the thing lobbyists do is they donations.
Yeah. Step out of line. What are you fucking doing? If you're not doing anything, get out of the way. If you're just sitting around getting more money,
then I'll have to work
hard. Doing anything about the biggest issue in America. Just,
and that's the thing. But that's the logic is, but then I'll have to work harder to raise the millions of dollars to be competitive against some other corporate backed candidate who can blow me out of the water with airtime buys. And that's the thinking of it. So, and then you do see people who come in, they're like, I'm actually here for the real shit. But they get snuffed out so quick. They get primaried so quick because, like Jack, you were saying last time, the immune system of our country is to purge any progressive leftist
anything
representation.
Leftist. Yeah.
Immediately. Like, get the fuck out of here.
How did Bernie get so far twice?
He's overwhelmingly popular, and there is an overwhelming desire to see something like this. Like, this, people see that this is important and a problem. And that's why I'm so worried that this is going to lead to fascism, because they won't let anything leftist happen. And the only other alternative, because the current system isn't working on behalf of the people, and people aren't dumb, they recognize that, they are going to go with whatever the alternative is. And so far, the only one that is kind of coordinating and not being batted down is fascism, because America is much cooler with fascism than they are with leftism.
Or yeah.
Mm-hmm.
again, all that propaganda. This, like, you say the word socialism and half the country is like, well, no.
But it's really like the fact that the New Yorker article, like the way they describe the problem is that America has like a rule that allows for minority groups of politicians to intervene in just like the broadest, most like down the middle terms, like both sides can intervene. But like that is never how it happens. It only is done by small groups to intervene on behalf of industries. And like the fact that that messaging isn't anywhere, it's just like not seen as a thing you can say. In America, it's so fucking wild. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about NFTs and Mountain Dew.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle Collins, and this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Colin Bridgerton has returned from his travels abroad. Is betrothal written in the stars for the eligible bachelor? Meanwhile, the ton is reverberating with speculation of who holds Lady Whistledown's pen. We're discussing it all. I sit down with Nicola Coughlin, Luke Newton, Shonda Rhimes, and more to offer an exclusive peek behind the scenes of each episode of the new season. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then, fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season 1, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season 1, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And quick update from the world of NFTs. I'm not watching the markets that much, but I am watching.
They're fucking trash. They're Ponzi schemes.
Right.
Don't say that.
I just paid $750,000 for a JPEG of a parrot. The last thing I need to hear is that I got ripped off.
Hold on. What? No, you bought a hyperlink to a picture of a parrot. You don't even own the parrot. You own a link directing you to a parrot.
That's right. And if anyone wants to click on it, they best talk to me.
So, Seth Green, the fantastic actor you may know as Dr. Evil's son or maybe from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, whatever, you know, from the 90s. He's such a cool guy that he bought one of those Nazi Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs, like a common Jimmy Fallon. And I say Nazi because the people behind these NFTs, they seem bigly into Nazi ideology and semiotics. We've talked about this in the past before, but just to bring that to people's attention one more time, like the black and white logo that the project has, like as their main logo, has an ape skull with 18 teeth in it. 18, big number for Hitler lovers because it's alphanumeric code for Adolf Hitler, A being the first letter, H being the eighth. And you know what else has a black and white logo with a skull that has 18 teeth? The fucking SS Waffen unit, which was the SS's combat unit. That's their design, too. And you look at the two, you're like,
yeah, those are really similar.
Yeah. And they're like, nah, it's just like a whole, it's like a fucking weird coincidence.
But there's one of 300 coincidences, by the way.
Yeah. But anyway, Seth Green bought one of these last year. And part of the deal with these Bored Ape Yacht Club NFTs is, like, I guess you buy the, like, intellectual property rights of the image so you can exploit it however you want. You can make a shirt, poster, or even develop a fucking sick-ass hybrid animated live-action show.
Well, now you have my interest.
Yes. But, Jack, the unthinkable happened, okay? I just want to this is from Seth Green talking to Gary V, who's another total YouTube con artist at like this event that was like last week. He said, I bought that ape in July 2021 and have spent the last several months developing and exploiting the IP to make it into the star of this show. Then days before, his name is Fred, by the way, days before he's set to make his world debut, he's literally kidnapped. Now what happened was he got fish scammed by like going to like a fake website that he thought was another NFT site. And they basically got into his crypto wallet, stole this NFT and then sold it to some other person for $200,000. So because of that, Seth Green is no longer the intellectual property rights holder to this Bored Ape, like, you know, fucking design. And he's like so bummed because like, I have this whole show that I was trying to make, bro, if you could get it for me. And right now he's saying he's going to try and go to court to like rectify this. But here's the thing with crypto and all this shit. Not a lot of regulations, and it's so Wild West that a lot of people speculate that the guy who bought the crypto from the hacker would probably has a higher chance of winning a lawsuit if he sued Seth Green for going forward with this show than he would to try and get his ape back from this guy.
So Seth Green's upset twice. Once because his cool drawing of a monkey got stolen from a website.
Not fair.
And once because he developed a show idea to star his monkey.
Yeah.
What if, Curious George, that's a popular show with a monkey, and I'm pretty sure that was just a drawing to begin with. What if he just went ahead with the show and removed all of the really bad parts where it's expensive?
Well, okay, this show, I just want to let you know, it's called White Horse Tavern. Is the name of the show in which Seth Green voices for this like ape character who's named Fred, and he's a bartender.
That's a place in New York, by the way. That is a
there's a lot bar. Of White Horse Taverns, but yeah. I think this is the one in New York, actually.
Like, yeah,
it's filmed in New York. But
someone needs to tell Seth Green that this is not intellectual. Like he can make this show.
Yeah, right.
So, well, but it stars Fred, and he's not going to change the character's name. Like Fred, think about what that would do to Fred's self-confidence.
Or the animation style to something which doesn't make you want to poke your eyes out.
Here, let me just play a couple seconds of this trailer, because Seth Green played it like after admitting, he's like, and it got stolen. But you guys, this is how cool this show could have been. And it's like a fever dream in some crypto bro's head.
I'm excited.
So he just got off a subway and he's like walking down to.
And then it just looks like stock footage of people on dates, like from a dating website.
Some guys at a bar trying to get a drink. Gary V makes a cameo appearance.
Who's Gary V?
He's like this wealth prosperity dude on YouTube. Okay, I can't even watch it anymore.
This is the thing with the NFTs, and I'm an idiot, so I don't understand anything. But I never understood like owning the image and having it as your profile picture on Twitter or whatever. It's like, you know, I didn't really get that. But then when you talk about the intellectual property and how he's lost the rights and he can't make the show anymore, this just looks like a bad show.
Yeah.
It's the NFT part, that block doesn't seem relevant to just make it. It's like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Right.
There is obviously something I'm missing. I can't conceptually understand what the issue is.
The idea, man, like the whole thing that was exciting about it. Sorry. Hold on. The whole thing that was exciting about it is Fred's involvement.
Hey, let's do another key bump.
Are you good? Do you want to hit this?
All right. I'll take it from here, bro.
Yeah.
So, guys, what do you know about the blockchain? The
thing that people are excited about is Fred, man.
Fred's excited. And we got that one, the lady from Orange is the new
Fred,
fucking
by the way.
When you put it that way, actually, you're right. I'm sorry for your loss here.
But it's truly like one of these, it's so insular, you know? It's for the crypto community. Gary V is like has a ton of weird NFTs he sells. This was like at VCon, which is like a bunch of people who are into this like prosperity mindset. And again, this is like the allure of crypto for a lot of people, especially like the people that are being pulled in now. It's like dangling the carrot of being like, dude, this dude bought Doge for like fractions of a cent. And now they got like a ton of money. And those examples are put in front of people over and over and over again to be able to bring their their capital and put their dollars into this thing. So then the bigger people who have millions in crypto still that like are illiquid, they're like, I need more cash to come in so I can cash my shit out. And
of course,
with NFTs, just normalizing the use of it all. And so it's just like, it's all so inward facing that to everyone outside, it's like, what?
Really suspect to me is if I have $250,000 cash and someone has a picture of a monkey and they say, I'll sell you this for $250,000 cash, it's a good deal. I'm like, well, if it's such a good deal, wouldn't you keep the picture of the monkey and I keep the 250, like, which might have value, and I keep the...
Right, right.
I understand how people are pushing ahead with these transactions.
Yeah.
Well, again, because we see headlines like, somebody bought an NFT of a tweet, and it's worth millions. And we're like, so half the time, we're just not like willing to look into it enough. You're like, well, there's enough people talking about it, so right, it seems realistic.
I recommend people go watch the video, the leaked videos of this trailer, I guess, for the thing. And just because none of them are, at least the ones that I found, aren't actually the video of the trailer. They are videos taken on people's phones at this like NFT conference.
Yeah.
And there is laughter in the room. I think it's at the Vikings football stadium.
Yeah.
But there's laughter in the room that is like nervous and like fake and like chilled me to my core. The laughter of the people who are like there and trying, like have a lot tied up in this being funny and this whole world hanging together and having like some logical coherence to it. So it's maybe go watch it, but it is a interesting new low.
If you use an Apple, if you push control and then left click on your mouse, you can download pretty much any image you want.
You got them. You got them all. But the vibe in there was definitely like this captive audience, like Mark Wahlberg and Boogie Nights and that Alfred Molina scene where he's just like coked out in a silk robe. He's like, hey, man, you want to listen to this song? And they're like, what the fuck is this place? Like, that's how the trailer, if you fully watch it, anybody who knows anything about like just how a narrative would work, you're like, I can't follow this. And I'm not sure how this is a trailer more than like loose scraps of dialogue that.
Well, yeah. The footage of the people at the tavern, it looks like it's shot and graded it like an ad for Budweiser or something. It's like friends hanging out, having a nice time. And then one of
dilly these dilly.
Fuck ugly monkeys walks in and starts quipping. And I think, I gotta remortgage the house. I gotta sell everything.
Well, Guy, as always, truly a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
You can find me at Guy_Mont on Twitter and Instagram.
Okay.
And I say it before I say it again, I create only the most premium content. Every tweet, very thoughtfully curated. I choose letters. I put them next to other letters. I make words, whole sentences, and the photos I put up. Oh my gosh. Everything you want to see is in frame. Nothing you don't want to see is in frame. These things are perfect.
Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
There is a tweet actually that made me really laugh the other day. It's by a guy, a UK comic, Alex Keeley, at Alex Keeley, K-E-A-L-Y. And it says, hate when I'm at a dinner party making a vaguely pretentious point to my group of friends, and then a Scandinavian auteur director slowly zooms in on the face of my partner who's begun to realize they no longer love me like they used to.
Miles, where can people find you? What's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Let's see, a tweet that I like. Oh, okay. First one is from Bandit at Kinky Bandit tweeted, I just know Amazon drivers be like, this house again? I have like neighbors like that. I'm like, wow, like y'all are keeping Jeff up in space forever. Ilana Pena at Ilana Cubana tweeted, I wish this was a joke, but last night at the Olivia Rodrigo concert, the girl next to me asked how old I was, and I said 31, and she laughed in my face. I remember telling when I turned 30, like telling someone who's like years younger than me, they're like, oh, okay. That's great. Like, as if I said I had some kind of like terminal illness.
Yeah.
And I love always seeing those kinds of reactions come back every time.
Some tweet. I'll just go with a tweet that's not related to the news. Ben Flores redemption arc tweeted, kid at the park just told me it's her birthday today. I asked her how old she is, and she said 5 and a half. Story absolutely crumbling. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do we think people might enjoy?
Oh, let's go out on some cumbia. This is a track from Los Golden Boys, and it's called Cumbia de Juventud. And it's... I was listening to a cumbia remix or something earlier, and I just like this. This is like an older group. This track is like from 1966, so it's really great, relaxing music. Get into it, you know, if you need something without lyrics but a little bit of energy, check out this cumbia track, Cumbia de Juventud.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. But we are back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies, so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection. obsessively fit tested for all-day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit TomboyX.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.